Our scripture reading today is Matthew 21 through 16. Jesus is speaking. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After the landlord had agreed with the workers to pay them a denarian, they were sent to the landowner's vineyard. Then the landlord went back around 9 in the morning and saw others just standing around the marketplace doing nothing, and said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right." And they went. Again around noon, and then at 3 in the afternoon, the landowner did the same. Around 5 in the afternoon, he went and found others standing around and said to them, "Why are you just standing around here doing nothing all day long?" "Because nobody has hired us," they replied. The landowner responded, "You also go into the vineyard." Well, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the workers and give them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and moving and on finally to the first." When those who were hired at 5 in the afternoon came, each one received a denarian. Now those hired first, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarian. When they received it, they grumbled against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked 1 hour, and they received the same pay as we did, even though we worked the whole day in the hot sun." But the vineyard owner replied to one of them, "Friend, I did not do you wrong. Didn't I agree to pay you a denarian? Take what belongs to you and go. I want to give you this one who was hired last the same as I give to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with what belongs to me? Or are you resentful because I am generous?" So those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last. Blessed be the Lord God.
This is our second week in our Food for Thought series as we feast on some of the parables of Jesus. Before we start diving into this week's parable, let's get a picture of where it fits in the Gospel of Matthew. Last week's parable of the unmerciful servant who would not forgive a smaller debt when he himself had been forgiven a much larger one came at the end of chapter 18. In chapter 19, the author of Matthew illustrates two topics through Jesus' teachings. One, God's love for the vulnerable in society, especially divorced women and children, in the first half of the chapter. And two, the correct attitude towards wealth in the second half of that chapter. But before chapter 19 completely ends, Peter asks what the future holds for the disciples who have given up everything to follow Jesus. Jesus assures them they will sit with him in heaven, and others will have eternal life as well. And the chapter ends with Jesus saying, "But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Excuse me. It is immediately after this that Jesus launches into this story of the vineyard owner hiring the workers, which we have now labeled as the beginning of chapter 20, which we just heard read. Just as Peter asks, we too may ask, what about us? We who have served God for many, many years usually expect to be rewarded in the afterlife. And that's okay. But we might not like the idea that others who did not follow God's ways as long as we have might be reconciled to God at the very last minute, or even after they die. And then they too get the same reward of a heavenly life that we do? That hardly seems fair to our finite human brains. We just can't seem to help comparing ourselves to others and grumbling, just as those who were hired first protested when they found out that the late hires earned the same amount of pay as the all-day workers. If they get a whole day's wage, then surely we should get much more, they reasoned. This seemed only logical and fair to them. While it is very easy to sympathize with the ones who worked all day in the hot sun and yet received the same amount as those who worked less, some even just 1 hour, it is much harder to sit with some of the implications and interpretations of this parable. If we take the same attitude about serving God as these vineyard workers, we too will grumble and be dissatisfied. Instead of rejoicing at God's generosity towards latecomers. However, I would be remiss if I only focus on this spiritual and heavenly application. While it is certainly one we need to remember, we also need to consider a practical application that may be even harder for us to see. I think the vineyard owner not only represents God. Jesus says the kingdom of God, or as many of us like to say, the kingdom of God, is like this vineyard owner. The kingdom of God. And we, Christ's followers, are part of that kingdom. So we too need to be concerned with displaying God's generosity. Not just accepting it and thinking it's okay, but actually helping to offer that generosity. An interesting thing about today's parables is that it's not only back in Jesus' time that people got up early every morning looking for a job as a day laborer. We still have that opportunity, we still have that happening in many countries today, including our own. In ancient times, this was the only way that many families would be able to eat that day and provide for their needs. And the same is still true today. Through my work with a ministry in Louisville, I discovered that this takes place every day. Prior to that, I was oblivious. I was part of a nurture and support group for a person who is rebuilding her life after incarceration, who I will call Suzanne. And Suzanne worked for a while as a day laborer. She got up early to go stand at certain places in Louisville, waiting for those who would come by to offer jobs. These were hard labor jobs, physically demanding and exhausting. If she was selected, Suzanne got in a car or van with a bunch of strangers and went off to work in another part of the city for however long she and her coworkers were told to work until they were returned to the place that they were picked up. I was mortified. It seemed so very unsafe to me. And it was very backbreaking hard work. But the reality is, it was a way to get the cash she needed quickly to cover her housing expenses and other needs, as she was starting over with absolutely no money to her name. She was not in a position in life where she could afford to wait through a hiring process and then have paychecks delayed a week or more after she had worked. And she couldn't afford to work only a minimum wage job when her needs were so great and so immediate. The majority of day laborers in ancient days were the very poor, the ones on the very lowest rungs of society. And so it is today. If they don't work, they will often have nothing to eat that night. One commentator says it may be easy for some to assume that those in the parable who were chosen in the afternoon were just lazy and they had slept in. But he knows from his own experience as a Latino that whenever he sees workers standing at the corner of the park or the hardware store in the early afternoon, that most of them have actually been up since 4 or 5 in the morning and were just, unfortunately, not selected for a job that day. And yet, there they stand, hopeful that some work may come through for them before the day is over. Wow, it seems a terribly hard way to live and so stressful. And it is. In addition to the backbreaking work that most day laborers do, worrying about basic necessities such as housing and food take a mental and emotional toll on one's health and well-being also. Of course, the reasons why people are poor are many and do include systemic inequalities and structural sins put in place before most of us were even born. It won't be solved anytime soon. But just because it's a big problem does not mean we should just throw up our hands and do nothing. As representatives of God's kingdom, we need to do what we can to help embody God's generosity. At the time of this parable, a denarius was what was needed for a family to meet their basic needs for one day. If the vineyard owner had paid the workers who were hired later any less, then some of their family's needs would not have been met. So this is a justice issue too. Equity is often used as a synonym or along with the word generosity. Justice. Generosity needs to be applied to unjust situations to help level the playing field. Putting generosity into practice to promote equity for the very most vulnerable is not discrimination towards those who are not as vulnerable. When we, as a supposedly Christian nation, provide free or reduced lunch to poor school children, provide rent assistance to the poor, have special job opportunities for the disadvantaged, or accept refugees from war-torn countries, we are not discriminating against those who are already better off. We are just making visible the generosity of God, which we have been called to emulate. Through these kind of efforts and many more, we are attempting to put into practice the justice which God demands. The kingdom of heaven simply is not complete without this kind of generosity and justice. Interestingly, in the original language, the verb in this parable, which is translated as grumbled or protested, is common in the New Testament, where it usually refers to gossiping by Jesus' adversaries or to conflicts in local churches. One scholar says that in most cases, the disgruntled folks are complaining about God's merciful actions towards those who have nothing. And so it too often happens in our time and place today. Instead of looking at systems of injustice and how we can dismantle them, we have government and religious leaders instead blaming the poor for the predicament in which they find themselves. And much too often, we hear folks protest and grumble about any effort to help the poor and disadvantaged meet their most basic needs in life, all while self-righteously proclaiming, "It's not fair. Nobody helped me." The vineyard owner's reply is still relevant today. Is the real motive of the complaints envy? In the original language, the phrasing is literally, "Is your eye evil?" The vineyard owner's generosity to the last ones hired was not the problem. The problem was the perspective, the way that the early hires were seeing the situation that was the problem. Let's not be like the first hired workers who resented the generosity given to those less who already are disadvantaged. Let's be glad that we can provide assistance through our government safety nets as well as our own efforts to help the vulnerable and less fortunate have their needs met. After all, many of us would not be where we are today if someone in the past had not helped us or our forebears, if we or our ancestors had not been allowed to immigrate to the United States, if we ourselves had been burdened by the disadvantages of racism. And if we cannot see that this is true, then we need to ask God to give us Jesus' eyes. My friends, God has already been generous with us. Let us pass that generosity on to others and do what we can to advocate for justice, mercy, and equity, and for the vulnerable, the poor, and the disadvantaged. Once again, Jesus is reminding us with this parable that God's kingdom values often contradict the self-centered and wealth-centered values that rule in our dominant society. We must practice generosity and justice in every opportunity that we have, as members of the congregation, as employees and employers out in our jobs, as voters and citizens who can help to influence government policies, as parents, relatives, and friends, and as human beings made in the image of God. I pray fervently that it may be so. Amen.